Before I was living in England, there was a place up just on the border of Scotland that I wanted to go to, and a house in particular, and it was at a place outside Berwick and Tweed called Duns, or your Scottish Duns. And whenever you left York, as I did, and got on to the main road there, and you drove up past Newcastle and Gateshead, and on up to Berwick, that was straightforward enough, but after that, I was completely lost. No question about it. But the man I was speaking to, he told me of a building that was really a landmark. And he said, when you leave Berwick on Tweed, if you keep your eye on that building, you cannot go wrong. And I did that. And the building seemed to stand out very starkly that time and even the next time that I went up. But after that, it became less obvious to me. That is the building that really was my pointer to his house. That is a general law of things. If you're looking for a landmark, they stand out so much to begin with, and then after a time, you don't seem to notice them just as much. And as I've been thinking this past week, I'm speaking to various individuals too, some who know exactly what we're talking about here today, not anyone in the congregation, but other people, and they are Christians, but they have been robbed of their joy. And their interest in God's word has been taken away. And their desire for fellowship with people like you and me, that has gone as well. And really, the thing that took them away was sin. It is something that stood out when they first come to the Lord. Just like the landmark, it was stark. They knew to avoid it, they did that. But then after a while, it became less stark. It didn't seem to stand out as much anymore. And they didn't avoid it the way they did before. And it led to a loss of the things that I mentioned to you and other things along with that. And you know, one of these sections here in the Psalm 119, we have a verse that shows us where all of this sort of tragedy can begin. It says there in verse 37 of this Psalm, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity." The words really are "mine eyes." Those are the words that we want you to focus upon here this morning. For it says there, "I," in the original language that your Bible is written in, the word literally means a fountain. Certainly something which is flowing. And you know that if you stand at a stream or a fountain and something is thrown in, it will be carried along with the flow. There's no question about that. And it's interesting too in the verse there that that word beholding is a word which means inordinate gazing. You look at something and it's okay, take another look at it, well, then there's nothing wrong with it, that's all right. But if there's something that is not right and you continually stare at it, then that is where the problem lies. Psalmist here, he knows all about this danger himself. And he says to turn away these eyes or this fountain that I have been mentioning to you just now. You see, what our gaze is fixed on will be the object of our attention. When I got to Berwick and Tweed, I kept my eye on that building and made sure that I didn't go to the right or to the left in order that I would get to the right that I was looking for. Over there in Proverbs chapter 27 and in the verse 20 it says, "The eyes of man are never satisfied." And that again should set off the alarm bells with us I got up really with what it says over there in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 8. It says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing. That brings very forcibly to our attention the great danger of this fountain. This eye. This place where if something goes in, it is carried along. And as we look at this portion this morning, just briefly together, I want to give a title to it. What are you looking at? And that is it. It's a question for all of us. I have four questions. I'm going to address each one of them to myself, especially, but to all of us. So the title is, what are you looking at? I want to say, first of all, do I need to be shown the way by the Lord? Do I need to be shown the way by the Lord? Whenever you look at verse 33, it's the same writer that is writing here. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, that I might keep it unto the end. Where you see, teach me there really means to point out, or actually to take and trace out. So where it's clear, trace out, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Something which is to be a clear indicator. And folks, you know that when we're saved, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is our comforter, and that is very important for us. But he's also our teacher. And God the Holy Spirit, he shows us the way. He traces out the way and instructs us in the way. And sometimes he gives us a taste of what it is to go on with him and encourages us to go on a bit more. Remember in Numbers chapter 13, there was the spies had gone out into the land of Canaan, and strangely they brought back a big bunch of grapes from Eshcol. So big were they that you had a pole and a man at each end of that pole with the grapes hanging in the middle. Big bunches of very good grapes. And when that was brought back and presented to the congregation of Israel, they were shown, well, here's what we got there. And two of the men, you know them well, Joshua there and Caleb, they were all excited and they thought, well, here's a taste. This is a taste of Canaan. It's a taste of what there is ahead. If you will go that way. Now, we know that the people at that time didn't go. They broke the heart of Joshua and Caleb. And they wouldn't go on. But I want to say this morning, brethren and sisters, that I do need to be shown constantly the way by the Lord. He needs to trace out the way for me, and to have the privilege of being guided by the Lord is something which we cannot overestimate the value of. I need to have the way pointed out to me and shown to me by the Lord himself. There's a whole lot of verses there in Proverbs we could look at. I'm just going to mention one or two. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. And this is showing us how important we ought to be. How important it ought to be for us, that we are shown the way. It says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. It doesn't say what age you have to be there. You may be a Christian for a long, long time. Or whether you're a minister or a missionary or perhaps one that's only saved a week. You must have this instruction, and it says here, to take fast hold of it. In other words, to embrace it. Again, over there in Proverbs, and this is the last one I'm going to look at this time, chapter 8 and verse 33. It says there, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. What does the world say today? The world says today, maybe you would mind your own business. Let us do what we like, because as long as we're happy. And therefore, society in general does that which is right in its own eyes. That was a disaster, if you read the book of Judges. Every man doing that which was right in his own eyes could not and cannot lead to anything but chaos, turmoil, and confusion, and frustration, and great trouble. Christian, the Lord is able. He's able to show us the way. I want you to note here that this being shown by the Lord. Lord, it's possible for me in spite of past failure. And that's important. In spite of past failure. The book of Nehemiah says there in chapter 9. You will look there in chapter 9 of Nehemiah. It shows us in verse 16. But then their fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to his commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders. And thou didst, that thou didst among them, and hardened their necks. And you see here, there were people who were picking up with other things. They were doubting. They were ignoring the things that the Lord has done. And did they really deserve any help? Well, no, they really didn't. But it says there, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Do you remember that today? He forsook them not. They were far from perfect. Now, anyone can get it wrong and make a mistake. In fact, all of us do that. And unfortunately, sometimes, like these people, people can consciously build on a mistake and things can get worse and worse. But the Lord hasn't changed. And if we today are to look to him and say, Lord, we realize that we have failed, there is help for us. Because it says there, thou art a God ready to pardon. And if you look there at the verses that follow, it says down there in verse 19, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The end of the verse is the same time, and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest thy good spirit. See that? Thou gavest thy good spirit to instruct them. The word instructor is very simple. The meaning of it in the original is to encourage to act wisely. To encourage to act wisely. So as I come to the Lord today and ask the question, do I need to be shown by the Lord? Yes, I do. And I can be shown in spite of past failure, but I can also be shown in spite of frustration. Christians, it's very easy to become frustrated. The world is no friend to grace, and when its ways disappoint you, you can sometimes feel like pulling your hair out. You don't know how bad things are going to get or what you're going to do. You think of the children growing up, as many of us do, and you wonder what on earth is it all coming to. Well, over there in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, this is what it says over there in the verse 24. It says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Instructing those that oppose themselves. If we're not very careful, we can become an opposition to ourselves. To explain that, we're going on well with the Lord, and then something comes, it frustrates us, and we don't stop thinking about it when we should. And then we start really opposing our own going on with the Lord. Things just get worse after that. And we become more and more frustrated. It says there in the word, where it says there, to teach them, be patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that God peradventure will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. And if you look at the context there, you will see that it is to do with the word of God. Listening to the word of God. And God, the Holy Spirit, and his word always work in unison. The Holy Spirit will not guide you the way that the word of God does not guide you. That is not the way God does things. So today I can find this being shown the way by the Lord in spite of past failure, in spite of frustration. I also want to say that this Holy Spirit that we're speaking about, it can unite people in a way that will strengthen everyone. For instance, in a congregation, it can unite us. You want to be very careful here. We do not unite in worship with everyone. People deny the truth of the deity of Christ, the virgin birth, or Christ is the only mediator between God and man, or any of those part of the truth. We don't fellowship, we don't worship with them. We cannot do that. And it says there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 speaks here of the things of the Spirit, and verse 14 that they're spiritually discerned. Therefore, a Christian is for you. But it says in verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Christian, you're a happy man or a happy woman when you have the mind of Christ. And any given issue, when you're not like those in the book of Judges and seeking to do that which is right in your own eyes, but when you have the mind of Christ. So yes, do I need to be shown the way forward by the Lord? Yes, I do. I can be, because God the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and this can be my portion. He can trace out the way. He can point the way for me in spite of past failure, in spite of frustration, and he can take a congregation like this and give that unity of spirit which strengthens us. Because it is there that the Lord commanded the blessing. Remember the psalm. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is there that the Lord commanded the blessing. But there is the key, if you will look at the verses we read this morning. Here is the key to this whole passage. Verse 37. It is my name. That fountain. That place where whatever goes in is carried along. And the psalmist here, he's really crying out to the Lord that the Lord would hold him up, that the Lord would trace out the way for him, and that the Lord would enable him to guard that eye. And therefore we have the question, what are you looking at? You look at that landmark in Scottish borders that bring you to Dunn's Lagoons. You look at to Christ. He leads you on with himself. Get your eyes off him. You could go in a different direction. Not be following after his word anymore. So the question I ask myself is, am I looking to him? Am I really looking to him continually? Now, folks, in these days when there is so much, in fact, some of it beggars belief. Brother John there earlier showed me something that had been mentioned in the news, and I'm not going to mention it from all the voices and girls, but I certainly couldn't believe it. That is taking place now in the name of Christianity. It really beggars belief. But I'm old enough to know that it's real. It's real. And it's out there. And how careful we need to be to guard the eye. Because you know, when something is in it, that eye, and it's carried along, where does it go to? It goes to our mind. And what we see affects the way we think, and therefore what we do. So I have another question here for me. Not only do I need to be shown the way by the Lord, I definitely do and can be, but do I need more discernment? Do I need more discernment, or can I just brush things off and say, well, it's okay, that's just their way, you know? No, I do need more discernment. He says there in this passage in verse 34, give me understanding. The word understanding there literally means impart to me discernment. And the thought is of mental comprehension. Make me to discern. Make me to really understand. You see, here's a man who had a bit of experience, and he just had subtle. How subtle that which within the idea it was. And how vain the world around him was. He says here, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Vanity really is that which is empty and of no substance. But he was also very assured of, when he looked at the world, of its power, of its persuasion, of its pitfalls. But he wants his thinking to be remolded. Doesn't want to be like that. He wants to have more discernment, to be more informed. And folks, it's very important to think. I'm not saying that in a patronizing way, by the way. But as Christians, we dare never get to the point where we just sort of fatalism comes in and think, well, you know, if it was the Lord's will that I do this, and I would have done it. Well, if you know to do it, you need to do it. Not just sitting around thinking, you know, is it the Lord's will? I'm speaking here to myself, of course. We must have that understanding. Many years ago, there was a very well-known preacher, and he said this. He said, the understanding is the pilot that guides the whole man. The understanding is the pilot that guides the whole man. And if I look back, I can recall sometimes when my gaze affected my insight. But in fact, if I discern them, and again, if I can use the illustration of Robert Dunn's in Scotland, if I keep looking to that building, I just knew that if I stayed on the roads that pointed towards it, I would get there. And Christian, when I keep looking to Christ every day, as we are commanded to do, look unto him, the author, and the word really means captain. The captain's one who goes before. If I look unto him, then I can continue to go on with him. But there's signs in our life's experience when our gaze has been deflected onto something else. And it's a factor of discernment. And maybe not in a way that has affected our life adversely, but with some that has happened. I mentioned them earlier. I'm bitter. Hard. And I use the word very respectfully. It's in control. And the eyes have come off the Lord. Of course, when men and women are Christians, the Lord's eye is always upon us. But if you look here at the word that is, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. You look at the words there, turn away. The words also come from a root which refers to the danger of being indifferent to God's teaching. Being indifferent to his teaching. And people have said to me even recent days, they said, you know, in this land there is a great danger of good people being soundly converted to Christ. Never taught anything. Never told how to go on. Never shown what the Lord can do for them. Never brought to Christ constantly in the Word. And therefore, there is that lack of insight or that lack of discernment. It's not at all that the people wish to go in the wrong way, but the lack of teaching is there. You need to pray that God will raise up more and more men for the pulpits of this nation. Men will receive and will preach the gospel, preach the whole counsel of God. You see, what enters in here at the idea will affect the insight. It will affect the insight. And in my opinion, an accurate version of the scriptures is very, very important. In some modern versions, and I'm not criticizing people here, I'm not here to do that, I'm simply saying there's important verses missing. Many of them are translated from corrupt texts. And they're done by men who had minds that were thinking many times in a worldly way. How good it is to have a sound version of the Bible in your hand. But not only is there the Bible, there's the drivel from TV. I'm not against TV. There's the media. And all that is pumped out. And I'm told today that I should be taking part of it and move on with society as society moves on. Of course, when culture has changed slightly and things are different now, say, from in the 60s in some ways, but the Bible is always the same. And God's ways are always the same. Therefore, you and I, we must have discernment. And folks, whenever we are looking at God's word, and it's coming in to the ivy, when we're by faith looking on to Christ, then we can have that discernment that is so important. I remember speaking to the family that I knew years ago, many times speaking to them. And they were Christians, but they couldn't really get it with the ecumenical movement. And they disagreed strongly on things like that. And I was talking to them a few years later. And things were changing. And in discussion with them, it was very evident that God had shown them that he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. That you are to come out from the unclean thing, you are to come out unto him without the camp. And you and I can thank God today that we have the light of his word and the teaching of his Holy Spirit. And folks, as you think of those words, mine eyes, and I ask myself, what am I looking at? It's very important that I'm moving to Christ, that I'm moving to God in his word. Ask the question here, do I need God to show me the way ahead? Of course I do. He can teach me the way and trace out the way. Do I need more discernment or understanding here? Well, definitely I do. But I want to ask another question. Do I ever try to go forward and envy the world? Look at verse 35. It says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. The word there, go, is a word which literally means go with faith. It seems to move. It implies action. So here it's really referring to walking with the Lord. And Christian, the obstacles in your way, and young people, the barriers that you're going to come up against are facing every day. A little correctness stretched to the last is going to put you under serious pressure. But the Lord would have us to walk in His way. Sometimes when you look at the way of the world, they seem laughing all the time. It's not real. Take it from me. And there seems to be that which is even attractive sometimes about how they seem to be so happy. You need to look beyond that. And you need to lean upon God's word. You can turn your own time to Psalm 73 when the writer there said the feet had almost slipped. The eyes had got off the Lord. You'll see it there in the Psalm 73 if you look at it yourself. They got the eyes of the Lord. That which was going in at the eye gate was all of the prosperity and the pomp and the pleasure that the world seemed to have. There were a lot of verses are given to it. Everything seemed to be good. Everybody was a happy bunch. Then on down the psalmist says that he saw their end. You know when he saw their end? It was when they got into the sanctuary of the Lord, when they got into the presence of the Lord. In other words, when he got his eyes on the Lord again and got his eyes off the world. And you know, folks, we all have to put our hand up and say, sometimes we get our eyes on the world. Think, boy, it's well for them. Seem to do so well so often. Folks, that is a great snare to a Christian. I sometimes, when I was younger especially, but even now I have the chance, I like to watch wildlife programs. I watched one once about wildebeest and their annual travels across the land. And they were traveling across, on this occasion I was watching them traveling across a river. And there were lots of them. And of course they wanted to get across the river quite quickly. There were crocodiles in there looking for little ones that they could grab hold of and eat, and it was not the place to stay. So they had worn a track up the far bank, if we can call it that, and then like the sandy stuff, and they had worn it, and they were trying to squeeze up, and there was lots of them coming. And the ones that were going up through that track, they were going on ahead and up through the river and on ahead. But there were some who were so keen, they jumped the queue. And they tried to jump up the bank where there was no path, and some of them got up a couple of foot paces up the bank, and then the over back down into the river again and went to start all over again. And I remember thinking, looking at it, you know, how like those wildebeest I can be. If I follow the way and the paths that the Lord has laid out for us, follow His word, keep my eye upon Him, we do go on ahead. But if I start following a different path just because the greater number of people in the land seem to do that, then I'm just going to be like that wildebeest. I'm going to fall backwards. Going to be back as far as ever. The answer to it, brothers and sisters, there is in verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant. It really means hold up thy word to thy servant. In any given circumstance in the land, or even in our own experience, you need to take it to the word. Take it to the word. Look to the Lord. Continually look to Him. And I know there are times there, and there are other people who've indicated that to me over these past couple of days. You want to go on with the Lord. You want to grow in Christ. You want to do what you can for Him. You want to be as bright as you can for Him. Well, you can go. But what's the idea? What are you looking at? Don't look to other people. Don't look to me, because I let you down. But look to the Lord. Continually focus upon Him. And all that's out there is the world's meager offerings. I'm speaking here of that system that would have you come away from the Lord with. Remember, keep looking in. Do I try to go forward but envy the world? It has happened. And my own experience in the past would be awesome enough to say that. And the Lord, by His grace, has enabled us to keep our eyes again upon Him and to keep pressing on with God's people on the narrow path. On the old path. Looking to His word, and if such and such a thing is legalized and you're put under immense pressure to, if you're not going to embrace it, it's almost as if there's going to be a situation where you're pressured and pushed into sin when it's okay. Well, if it goes against the Bible, it's not okay. And folks, we need to be those who are continually looking to the Lord. I want to ask one more question here just as we finish. And it's one that I have to ask in one heart again. Will I be willing to go for him in spite of all of this? Look at verse 36. It says, incline my heart unto thy testimony and not to covetousness. Remember covetousness? We mentioned it the other week. Covetousness in the eyes of the Lord is idolatry. That's what it is. Because many people would like a little bit more. And I'm not saying that's wrong. You would like a little bit more. But this is covetousness. Our heart being set on things. Very materialistic age. So easy to get wrapped up in this. If you see there where it says, incline my heart. The psalmist here, he shows that he is willing to go for the Lord. Because the word incline there means, it literally means, slope my heart. Slope my heart, or incline my heart. He's capitalizing upon the whole thing here, and he's recognizing that his heart can be easily drawn away after other things. He's saying, Lord, incline my heart after thee, after thy ways. Incline thy heart unto thy testimonies, or unto thy word, and not to covetousness. And we have to note this morning, folks, that in all of these things, what we see starts it all. My eyes. What are we looking at? Are we looking to Christ continually? And if we're not, we're going to be in trouble sooner or later. I trust that the Lord will help us all. I'll mention the four questions again. I have to ask them this morning. Do I need to be shown by the Lord? Yes, I do. Can be. Says there in case either way. Do I need more discernment? Yes, I do. Do I ever try to go forward and envy the world? I have done in some degree. Maybe some Christians discourage you and you think, well, you know, I'm just going to go to everybody else. And the question is, will I go for him in spite of all that is around us? I trust the Lord will help all of us to go, that we will continually be looking to him. I ask this morning, if you're not saved, if you've never turned to the Lord Jesus, repented of your sin, simply ask him to come into your heart and to be your Savior. I wonder, will you look to him? Look to him by faith now. Come and trust him. Have your sins forgiven.